Right now, we have a problem. There's a pandemic within a pandemic. At least that's the way I've read it. Dr. Gregory Sarlo, Clinical Director, Psychological Consultations, Illinois Psychological Association. I've read that in multiple places, Dr. Sarlo. Is that a good way to put it, a pandemic within the pandemic?
Oh, yes. Amongst both lay people as well as professionals.
All right, and I want to cover both of those areas. By the way, 312-981-7200. Naturally, it's not me asking questions only. That would not be right. So please participate as well. You're welcome to do so. I want to start with kids. I mean, everything has been turned upside down, and especially for very young kids, you could try to explain what's going on, but I don't know how successful you'd really be. So now, they were accustomed to going to school. Maybe they were even supposed to kindergarten. They were supposed to start school. Now they are, but at home. Has that created more issues, psychological issues, which can range from anxiety to depression to worse in particularly young kids?
Yes, it has, particularly among families. You know, there's a lot of emotional things that have changed within this pandemic, which is that boundaries have really been crossed between parents and the children. Now, you know, the parents are now educators, and the children are used to having their parents as parents, and now they're teachers, particularly at the beginning of this pandemic. I think the youth were at a higher risk during the first phase of the lockdown because of the adjustment of having them all of a sudden at home 24/7 and away from their peers. So there was a lot of isolation, depression, disruptions to education in general. You know, their extracurricular activities were limited. Support services were limited. So it's really affected the youth a great deal.
Now, I've talked to parents who have said, all right, now the kids are back in school, but they're not the same. My kid is not the same. Something happened. So if you're concerned about your child, what should you do?
Make sure that they are utilizing the, you know, electronic ways of connecting with other children. Make sure that they are getting some type of socialization if they're not able to do so. And if you see an increase in like isolation, anxiety, sleep disorders, things like that, make sure that you're getting some telehealth and reaching out to a psychologist or psychiatrist if it gets really bad for medication intervention.
All right, so what are the clues that your kid may be having difficulty? Now, you mentioned two of them. You mentioned sleep issues and I guess just a sense that something isn't right. Is that sense something isn't right enough?
Depression and isolation are really big factors. You know, for kids, particularly kids that are the ones that are at risk are even more the ones that are on the spectrum. And, you know, intervention or interaction with other children is so vital to these children in particular that without that interaction, they can regress, if you will, or become even more isolated than they were before. And they get very used. I mean, we've been at this for over a year. So now the children as well as adults are getting very used to being away from other people. So that in and of itself poses vulnerabilities emotionally.
Well, I want to ask you about that. So human beings are social creatures. We are ethologically, scientifically hardwired, and this is true for every culture on the planet. Human beings want to be with other human beings, first with family members, but what we call friends and associates as well. The whole planet has suffered. Has the whole planet suffered as a result of the pandemic?
Well, yes. When you're talking about 76 million people in 2020 that were affected by COVID, it is going to have a huge impact on various, you know, facets of our lives, economic stretch, social isolation. You know, a lot of folks participate in religious communities weekly. Those have been completely cut out up until recently, have been forced to close. So that has contributed to social isolation. The media coverage, I think, if, you know, some of these older folks watch TV 24/7.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it increases, that only increases anxiety and fear about being around other people. The barriers to mental health, I think, have been increased. So, and when I say that, I mean, you know, the hospitals are filled, you know, for inpatient units, and mental health units are overworked and completely filled. So the access to mental health facilities and healthcare facilities has been really limited.
All right. So that's exactly what I was going to ask you about. You said earlier, well, if you suspect your child has an issue, get help. How can you get help if you call the line to get help and there's no one picking up the phone on the other end, or if you email? And you just, because people who do what you do apparently are overworked.
Yes. The first thing I would try to do, if you can't reach, if it's that serious, you need to go to the emergency room. And if you can't get a hold of an inpatient unit to get someone admitted, at the very least, reach out to, you know, the ER, or reach out to psychologists. I'm on, you know, along with my work with the Illinois Psychological Association, I'm also on staff at Lutheran General. And, you know, reaching out to the psychology team or psychiatry team there would be a great help, or through IPA, trying to get referrals for folks in your area. So at least you could start some telehealth immediately and get some help.
What is IPA?
The Illinois Psychological Association.
All right, but so we hear all the time, and I'm glad we do. We should be hearing about it. For right now, for example, in Michigan, there are apparently a shortage of beds if you have been diagnosed with COVID in some places in the state. That was the case in California, and it's been the case in various communities around the country, and it's widely reported when it happens, as it should be. For mental health, I don't know. You know about it because that's what you do. But we in the media, I mean, even in the media, I didn't mean to say that, but yes, even we in the media don't know about it, and certainly the general public doesn't hear about it. Should we be hearing about it?
Hearing about what in particular?
A shortage of beds for mental health patients, adults or children.
Yes, you should be hearing about it. It's very hard, and people are shocked because when they go to call and are trying to, you know, get people admitted and some help, either, like you said, people are not answering the phone, or it takes a while to get back to folks because they're so inundated with phone calls and emergencies, and there's a shortage of bed space in these places. And it leads, you know, a lot of this is the result of there's been a large increase in substance use. So people have relapsed that I've seen in our own practice, and we're seeing this in the hospital, that folks are using drugs, alcohol, and substances, including children, you know, adolescents who have access to it, are engaging in substances more. The studies have reflected that recently. So it's this vicious circle of you've got an increase in all this symptomatology and crises that are going on, and there's not enough places for these folks to go.
And as our world is getting back to quote-unquote normal, then can we bounce back just as quickly? So this happened, it seemed overnight. I mean, one day everything was fine, the next day the World Health Organization said, oh, no, things aren't fine. There's a pandemic and everything stops. Now we are getting back to normal. It's not happening as quickly as many of us would like, but it is happening. Are we going to bounce back quickly, those who have issues? That's my first question when we come back. Your questions as well. 312-981-7200. You can call or you can text Dr. Sarlo.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river I've been running.
Very soulful, Andrew. He provides the best bumps in the business. Steve Dale's Otherworld on WGN. We're talking with Dr. Gregory Sarlo. Let me do that. Can I do take two? Are we recording this? Dr. Gregory Sarlo, Clinical Director, Psychological Consultations, Illinois Psychological Association. It's a mouthful, Dr. Sarlo. Have several texts for you. Good afternoon, and thank you for the excellent program. Do you think that all the stressors can exasperate struggles such as OCD? What do you think?
It can, because, I mean, OCD is an anxiety-based disorder, so it could, it's been interesting because some of our folks who are suffering from OCD have said, oh, people are finally doing what, you know, we're supposed to be doing all the time, which is washing your hands.
Okay, that's a psychological joke, is that?
Yeah, well, you know, it's been ironic for some of those folks. For other folks, it really hasn't, they're not doing much different than they did before. However, if for instance, their anxiety increases, then it could increase the symptomatology for the obsessive compulsive behavior.
All right, and that leads me, in a way, to the next question, also text. Broad question, but it's a really good one. How do I know if I'm depressed?
Well, you got to do some check-ins with yourself. If you're sleeping more, if you're not eating properly, if your behaviors have changed over the last year where you're losing weight or gaining weight substantially. I mean, all of us have talked about, you know, in our professions, COVID eating, because we have nothing else to do, seemingly, but, you know, hit our refrigerator. But, you know, pay attention to those little signs for yourself. If you are not sleeping properly is a big factor. People are waking early or waking in the middle of the night and have trouble falling back asleep. These are some things that folks have really complained about. So, doing a little, you know, emotional temperature taking for yourself is really important.
You know, I'm one of those people that you hate because I would say, just snap out of it. So how do you, because I don't think you can just snap out of it, or maybe you can. So what can you do if you feel the onset of everything or some of what you're talking about?
You need to reach out for help. There is help out there. Even though we talked about a few moments ago that the more severe, you know, like inpatient units and things are inundated there, and psychologists, even though they're complaining about being, we're all inundated with a lot more clients than we had before, please reach out and get some help because there is help out there.
And how do you, if you don't know who to call, who do you call?
Well, you could Google folks in your area, you know, that are psychologists and therapists. You know, there's quite a few websites that you're able to put in your zip code and just find therapists in your area. Mm-hmm. And what we have found is we've gotten quite a few referrals that way because people are just going down the list. And the first person that answers, they will, you know, that they've tried to contact, they will likely, you know, make an appointment with. So there is help out there as far as that goes.
Sure. How about asking your physician, your personal physician?
You can, yes. many, many times they have referrals. They have their own referral basis within their practices that they send their patients to try to hook them up with mental health assistance. Certainly, you know, I would start there. But a lot of people don't have, even they haven't been to their, one of the problems is some people haven't been to their primary care physicians and have been neglecting their health. You could also start with your insurance company or a provider network if you have insurance.
Well, and speaking of which, that leads me perfectly into this next question from a texter. What if I don't have insurance?
Then I would go back to like either your primary care physician or go to the internet and look for people that offer a sliding scale. There are many of us out there that do. And try to work out with someone something and negotiate with them as far as the fee that's feasible for both of you.
Is there financial help potentially available? Now, you mentioned the sliding scale that individuals such as yourself, individual professionals may offer, but is there another way? Can you go to, I don't know what those sources would be. I guess that's what I'm asking.
Well, community mental health centers or community organizations, of course, have access to help people who aren't insurance dependent and don't want to go to someone private. They can go to community mental health centers to access some help.
I want to talk about you, not you personally, but your profession. We mentioned earlier, we just kind of broadly just mentioned it, but I want to dive deeper into this. How are you? How are people in your profession? I mean, you're only human too. And if you're focused, first of all, you suffer the same sorts of things we all do because you are, after all, only human. And the same pressures because people who do what you do also have kids and everything you defined earlier, you know, that you're being a teacher at home as well as taking care of the home. Now, life has changed. And as a professional who does what you do, you were probably taught not to do things like telehealth that now is becoming the norm. So how is your profession doing?
We're trying to support one another a great deal. It's been rough because unlike other things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, we're more than likely able to remain objective for the most part. And there are instances when we're not. We examine those issues and are able to work through them. With this in particular, we're all in the same fishbowl. Everyone is going through the same thing. And including therapists, doctors, all of our professions are. And that makes it increasingly more difficult when you're experiencing exactly what all of your, in our profession, virtually all of our clientele are doing. So I think, you know, we've really tried to support one another, both within the hospital and within the Illinois Psychological Association, reaching out to one another, making sure that we're checking in with one another and seeing how we're doing. Our work, generally speaking, in private practice could be pretty isolating outside of circumstances like this. However, now it's become even more isolating, and it's very important for healthcare and frontline workers, you know, to make sure that we're remaining vigilant in taking care of ourselves, taking breaks, making sure we're talking to others, making sure that we're offering peer support for one another. Those are very important things that should not be ignored.
Does that same advice matter if you're a teacher, if you're a plumber, if you're a dentist? I mean, the advice you just gave about communicating with others and all those things you just said, does it apply pretty much to any profession?
Yes, I would agree with that 100%. It does. It really does. But it can be, you know, folks, there are some folks that we work with that work in the corporate world, and they haven't been in their offices in over a year. Mm-hmm. And they're not socializing with other people that they used to socialize with. on a day-to-day basis, even walking by and saying hello to someone. You know, that has all been taken away, and it's not looking like, from what they're telling us, that they're going to be going back anytime soon.
Well, the good news, the good news from my perspective is, I mean, I'm downtown all the time, and it has gotten busier now. I'm seeing more tourists. I know that because I hear languages I do not understand. And also, I'm assuming some of those people work in offices. But I think that in some ways our world has changed forever, you know, and it's interesting how some have adapted more quickly, doctor, than others.
Yeah, we're all, you know, yes. And to go back to your earlier question about, you know, what happens after this, and now that the world is starting to open, the positive side is that it is starting to get better. And people are paying more attention to, you know, making sure they're taking precautions and getting back to a life where you can have a life, but just be safe about it. So those are positive effects. I think we're all, to a certain degree, suffering from a certain amount of PTSD, and it's going to take a little time for people to acclimate getting back to being social. And everyone should be patient with themselves.
Okay.
You know,
good advice, Dr. Sarlo. I'm just up against the clock here, but we'll talk to you again at some point in time, I'm sure. Thank you so much for your time. Dr. Gregory Sarlo, Clinical Director, Psychological Consultations, Illinois Psychological Association.